policy, not politics, as we look to the future post-COVID-19 and the economic impacts the pandemic has had on the United States. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook for the time being, and Twitter at US of Ed. Donald Trump acquitted by Republicans, surprise, surprise, at his second impeachment trial earlier this week. Another failed witch hunt to hear the former president tell it. Ed, first thoughts.
Well, he's still the witch. The Wicked Wizards of Oz. When that many Republicans cross the aisle, it is not good news. And this is the first time that many people of the opposite party have ever crossed the aisle in an impeachment trial. But this trial was for the American people. What do they think that this man did, and how should he be held accountable? I think Mitch McConnell made the best speech of the entire week-long, what do you call it, escapade. We can't call it a trial.
Kangaroo court.
But Mitch McConnell basically said he did it. He should be held accountable for it. We didn't get him in this forum, but there are other forums. So watch this space.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell very much playing both sides of the room, I felt, with his response to this one. He obviously made this statement that Trump was morally responsible but couldn't be held responsible because he was no longer president. And the only reason this trial was even going on after Trump was sort of not president was the delays that Mitch McConnell himself created in the Senate. Is this kind of setting the stage for Republicans to play both sides of these issues?
I don't think the Republicans are organized anymore. For 4 years, we've had a solid Republican base here, except for Maine, and Arizona, and he's dead. The problem the Republicans have is they don't have a common ideology anymore. Running against things is not the way to win. You have to have a program, a set of policies that appeal to the American voters. So running against immigrants, is that going to get me anything? Is running against Black Lives Matter, is that going to get me anything? No, I don't have a job right now. My aunt has COVID right now. My uncle is suffering from dementia, and my streets are broken, and my schools are closed. You got to run on how you're going to fix those things to be elected. And that's what Joe Biden is doing.
Actually, going to circle back on that one in terms of Republican strategy in just a couple of minutes on one of the other pieces here. But just in terms of Donald Trump and what's next in that kind of arena for Democrats, I'm tempted to say, look, if Trump wants to run in 2024, let him run. Let chaos reign, particularly for Republicans. But in saying that, I think, you know, the right circumstances, enough gerrymandering, Trump could actually win again in 2024. I mean, I know how crazy that is, but everything has kind of been madness over the past, 6 years.
Well, I think there's once bit, twice shy. It will be impossible to do what was done on January 6th again. It will be impossible to tell a lie about the elections and have the American people swallow it or even given voice. No network is going to carry that stuff. $2.7 billion of suits for every network that carried it. And they're going to win most of this stuff. Mm. So each one of these organizations will be set back billions of dollars. Furthermore, the public is tired of the negative. That is not a winning formula. Trump is tied to the mast of the past, and that will not fly in the future.
Well, there are a bunch of lawsuits, as you mentioned, heading Trump's way from various organizations, heading to those other organizations as well. But look, you know, as Joe Biden said this week, he's sick of talking about Donald Trump. I'm sick of talking about Donald Trump. Is it worth, you know, for us to continue to watch this fiasco?
Well, for some news channels and commentators, yes. For us, no. Most of our listeners and so are people who want to know what's going to happen, how it's going to be happening, and the main actors. It's going to be wider than Joe very soon.
Yeah, let's move on to some real news this week. In Texas and parts down south, they are experiencing massive, record-breaking cold fronts. Millions without power, over 20 dead. I saw this extraordinary footage of the aftermath of a traffic pileup in Texas that was actually quite early on into this event. 50 to 100 vehicles, cars and trucks, all come together, all smashed up in these slippery conditions. Ed, what's going on?
Well, in the first place, in Texas, where I've lived, if it rains a little bit, nobody knows how to drive. Mm. If it snows, it's way beyond them. But secondly, this has become a political issue, believe it or not. The anti-climate change groups are saying the reason there's no power or electricity is that the windmills have stopped running and there's no solar energy, which the state was suggesting would be available. And so that's the reason you're freezing your rears off. Well, the real reason, and that's coming out, is the state privatized the electrical grid and sold it off to three or four different organizations. Those organizations did not do the kind of thing you should do, stockpile the kind of energies they needed to service the grid in conditions like this, and that would be normally through natural gas, and they don't have enough of it. Can you imagine Texas without natural gas? They have plenty of it, but you usually store it for these kinds of times. But if you're an organization that wants to make profit over providing customers with safety, you're as lean as possible, and they were too lean. And by the way, the windmills ran fine.
Yeah, I don't think there were the windmills freezing up, as some have come to claim.
That's just a lie. And this is the problem. I hope someone sues those organizations that put that lie out.
On COVID relief this week, there's a new push on this from the Biden White House, the American Rescue Plan. What's going on?
Well, the American Rescue Plan is just that. This is rescuing people from COVID, diving in, getting as many people vaccinated as possible. Now, some people are surprised that it's taking so long, that it's so cumbersome, but it's very difficult to handle 300 million people from day one, and you're unsure of your supplies. So this is what's happening, and that's why the president is in Wisconsin now. What he's trying to do is say, hold on, everybody. By the end of the summer, everyone who wants a vaccination will have had one. They'll get it from one of three sources. One is through the medical system, where the hospitals are. And a lot of people are lining up for that. The other is through distribution centers run by the military, run by FEMA, and so on. These will be in rural communities and in towns, much like we have here in Australia, health clinics all over the place. But it takes a while for those to get set up. So some people are running to the city hoping they can get a dose right now. The third is through your friendly pharmacist. So this week, over a million pharmacies in the United States will be able to hand out the drugs. But we don't even have drugs for a million pharmacies. So it'll take a while before that plan is fully implemented. So by the end of summer, that will be done. Going along parallel with this is the money for businesses to reopen, to sell stoves and blankets and things to keep you warm, and to sell coffee and to sell food and increase the food supply. And the next thing that's happening, the roads will have to be repaired. They need to repair before the snows. That will create jobs. And there'll be jobs in other sectors as well. One of the big sleepers in all this that I've been paying attention to, and many others, is the United States will be all electric vehicles within 25 years, which means they may start making things in the United States again in two ways. The electrical automobiles will have to be electrically charged. A new system has to be put in for that. Some of the petrol stations will be dual, but new systems will be put in for that for cars, trucks, and buses. And starting next year, the entire federal fleet will be electric. That will create an awful lot of jobs. So Biden's betting on the future.
I just want to expand on this one slightly, because there was a report out this week with economists warning, and I think this applies to Australia as well. You know, going off what you're saying there, Ed, millions of jobs wiped out in the COVID pandemic are unlikely to return when the situation, you know, returns, so to speak, back to normal, because there's going to be less travel, there's going to be less hospitality work.
That's right.
There's going to be more automation, less office support roles, people working from home. The focus, they've said, needs to be on retraining. So I know, look, I know we've spoken about this before. I know you do have some big, big thoughts on this one.
Yes, that's quite true. It's kind of like when you're building a new building downtown, the government always touts that this can have 30,000 workers. But when that building's finished, only 1,000 people occupy. So in building the plants for these new vehicles and converting the old vehicles, that's going to create a lot of old style jobs. The new jobs on the other side will require a lot more and better educated people. I visited a plant in Germany several years ago that produced Volkswagens, all electric Volkswagens. And there were about 10 mechanics in the place. The rest was robots. The entire factory was glass. So you could see from the outside how the cars were being made. The sum total of employment there was under 200 people. They walked around in white gowns like they were in a hospital, but they were producing the vehicles of tomorrow. I think those kinds of factories will no longer be in these big Detroit-style plants. They'll be in smaller towns and communities, but they will be automated. By being automated, they can be spread. You need large labor pools, big amounts of water and electricity in the old-style plants. These new ones will be more nimble. There are new things coming in terms of batteries that will require somebody moving them, somebody making them, and the like. Work as we knew it will probably be gone. It'll look much more like the gig economy. People will have skills that they'll sell to a number of different organizations and agencies from where they are. And the work we're doing is an example. You're in a studio and I'm in a house.
And at the risk of repeating ourselves, I did want to circle back on what you were talking about in terms of Republican strategy a few minutes ago there, Ed, because there was...
Republican strategy is an oxymoron. But
yeah. I think you might have a point there. But there was, in relation to the COVID relief and some of these other things we're talking about right now, in terms of policy, there was a memo from the White House senior advisor, Mike Donilon, to the White House senior staff this week. And I just wanted to quote from that for a moment. there seems to be a growing conventional wisdom that it is either politically smart or at worst cost-free for the GOP to adopt an obstructionist, partisan base politics posture. However, there is lots of evidence that the opposite is true, that it isn't politically smart for the GOP to be going down this road, and rather than it being cost-free, this approach has been quite damaging to them. So as I say, this is a White House memo from this week in regards to COVID relief. I think it lines up with what you were talking about before, but this is the approach that the Biden administration is trying to get out there at the moment.
Yeah. For the past 4 years, we've paid attention to politics rather than policy. The politics of the Republican Party right now is to try to stop from eating itself up. The policies of the Democratic Party are to reach as many goods and services to Americans as possible. So Republicans like Romney are going to join that bandwagon. They're going to say, if I deliver something to the people in my state, I will be reelected. If my reelection chances are based on what I stop, I'm dead. Or based on whether I supported Trump or not, I am dead. No one really cares about some kind of feeble policy about putting a wall up when they don't have a job. So I think we're going to see Collins, McCroskey, and about Portman, at least 10 to 15 Republicans joining the Biden camp, offering alternative, what you and I would call progressive policies.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about one of them that Romney's going to offer next week, which will be a child welfare program, which will provide up to $3,000 for every child in the United States, no strings attached. Very high income threshold. It'll be a child endowment program. If you have a lot of money, of course, it'll be taxed away. But what will this do? It'll damn near eliminate poverty in America. And a $15 an hour wage combined with that. So the Republicans can't run against that. Particularly, have you noticed how much silence there is in Wall Street and in the big end of town in the United States? General Motors is not afraid of $15 an hour. They have to pay $45 an hour to get the kind of technicians they need. The only people who are thinking about this are the people who sell hamburgers. In a $5 hamburger or a $1 hamburger, people will still buy them.
And well, speaking of putting things off, I'm kind of waiting on a slow news week where we can talk a little bit more about the administration's approach to China. So I think we'll be putting that off again this week. But I did want to talk about the sort of tensions that have been rising between China and Taiwan, with China sort of warning the smaller nation a move towards independence would mean war. How do you see this one, Ed? How do you think?
Are you talking about Hong Kong or Taiwan?
Yeah, well, this is exactly it, isn't it? I mean, this is the situation we see developing over and over again.
With both. Their moves to independence and democracy threaten China. Now, China also needs them. These are also places where they can get hard currency, United States dollars, euros, and so on, for the transfer and transmission of goods. I think the Chinese want to go hard on the politics, but soft on the economics. We'll see how this works out. Biden has essentially four places he has to concentrate on. And you just named one of them, Taiwan, Hong Kong. The next is Iran, which brings in Israel. The third is the common market in Europe, including Great Britain. And the fourth is actually the more deadly in the sense they have atomic bombs and so forth, is Russia. Russia in disarray is scary. So Biden doesn't have to have a foreign policy that has 50 things in it. He only needs four. And how he deals with that, the subject of new shows. So people, keep listening.
And just finally, Ed, look, news this morning, Rush Limbaugh, the conservative radio talk show host, provocateur, and recipient of a Presidential Medal of Freedom. He has passed away at the age of 70. Look, he's obviously had a huge influence on the kind of politics that launched Donald Trump to the White House in 2016, and the kind of politics that many would say are poisoning the sort of American political ecosystem. I'm not sure I've got a lot of publishable words to kind of say about old Rush, but was there anything you wanted to add?
Well, Rush is rushed off to the great Trump gowned under the ground. I don't know how deep it is, but it gets hot down there. I don't think there'll be a few people who try to replace him, as there are, most of them coming out of the religious side of things. But I think, again, as I said earlier, you can be shrill for so long, you can yell for so long, and pretty soon you're going to turn people off. The other thing that all of us have to face now is the aging of white America is pretty high. And that was the crowd that listened to this. The younger people are not buying it. So I think a message that focuses on the future, not the kind of message that Obama hoped, but on tangibles, will be the difference. And the person who delivers that well, it might be our show, will be the one that's listened to.
Ed and I will be back with the latest in US news and politics next week. Plenty more for us to be talking about. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast and don't miss a thing. Drop us a review if you're feeling generous. And check us out on social media, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.